How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow?
Welcome back, Squibs. It's been some time. We got our first episode in March of 2020. We are already a quarter through this miserable year. Well, we're going to try and make it a little less miserable for y'all. We are all stuck at home during these oh-so-fun isolation times. Isn't that right, Lady Victoire? Exactly. We have loads of time to catch up on all our faves, and we were going to dive into one, a very special one today, because it's kind of a first, sort of a first mention for the old franchise in terms of diving into another classic trilogy, a Harrison Ford trilogy at that. Is it Star Wars? Blade Runner Trilogy with our fan-made cap trilogy capper that we made over the isolation break? No, it's actually Indiana Jones. A trilogy, a franchise. Yes, there we go. The OG Raiders of the Lost Ark. And we are on a quest today. This quest is not only a quest for Squibbling Rivalry, can we do a watch-along of Raiders of the Lost Ark, but it's also a quest to find out, it's a quest for the perfect movie, the holy grail, if you will, of movies. Is there such a thing as a perfect movie? Can we watch this movie and determine if it even gets close to reaching that status? Or are we going to go the way of the common argument I see out there from some of y'all, that think that the third act in Raiders of the Lost Ark is actually pretty inconsequential when it comes to Indiana Jones as a character? That is a question for the Squibs to determine throughout this mysterious journey. So that's quite the intro there. Yes, yes, our cups of tea. So let's dive in. So what we were thinking to do for this special episode, whether it's a special long episode or a crazy two-parter, was our very first watch-along, and we decided to choose an instant classic in the first Indiana Jones film ever made, Raiders of the Lost Ark, from 1981. So it's a Harrison Ford classic, and we're, what do you think about that? Are you up for the challenge, Lady Victoire?
I think I can handle it. I've got a companion here today. We'll see if he can handle it. Laddie Lou?
Perfect. So hopefully by now you've tuned in and you realize that this is going to be a way better episode to listen to if you're watching along with us. It is the Watch Along special. So if you want to fire it up, it's free on Netflix if you have a Netflix account. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark, and we're going to kick it off at 2 seconds. And if you fire up your Netflix and you go to the 2 second mark, you can watch along with us and have a great time with Harrison Ford and the gang. So what do you think, Squib? Should we get this rolling?
I'm ready on my 2 second mark here.
All right, on your mark. So we're going to start with 2 seconds. We're going to watch along with this movie, and we're just going to kind of figure out how classic, how great this classic actually is. And hopefully you enjoy watching along with us. It's kind of in the vein of, you know, isolation party. We can still watch movies together, even though we're from different locations, and we're doing it kind of over Skype mode and Squib mode and Super Squib. And we're going to watch this film and kind of dissect it along the way and have fun with it. And it's kind of similar to like a Netflix party. If you were on Netflix, you could set up a Netflix party and do the similar thing. We're just doing it over our Super Squib channel. So that's right. So, on your marks, if you got your Netflix and chill ready, but not too chill, if you know what I mean, we're just going to have a good family fun family fun flick here, and we're going to fire it up, and I'll count it down. We're on your marks, on your 2 second mark. I'll give us a count of five, all right? So, Squibbling Rivalry in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. So, we should be seeing the Paramount picture, a Gulf and Western Company logo. That classic 1981 vibe. Well, I hope you squibs are joining in on the fun. We're closing in on Raiders of the Lost Ark. You can see the title screen right here. And we got Harrison Ford and his Sherpas, or so it would seem, guiding him to this mysterious temple. And I guess I'll take this moment while they're walking through the jungle to kind of get a feel for how each of these viewers, especially Lady Victoire, feel about the franchise in general. Have you watched Raiders of the Lost Ark? Have you seen it recently? And I was just about to say, you got the classic John Williams score. Yeah. And the screenplay by Lawrence Kasdan himself. Empire Strikes Back, anybody? Directed by Steven Spielberg. Do you need me to pause it for a sec?
Pause it for half a second.
Let's do a test first. Do you see Doc Ock right there? That's Doc Ock.
Yeah, now I do, yeah.
And he just handed a match. He just handed a match. South America, 1936.
Oh, no, we're
wait. Okay, so then I'll stop it for 3 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. You should be staring at Doc Ock now.
No, we're okay, now we are, yeah.
Okay, so... So pulled out the pistol. 1, 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so whip time, right? Whip time. Indiana Jones, whip time. Okay, so it took a second to get on track, but we are two different locations trying to record over Super Squib Space. We're back on track. Indiana Jones has pulled his weapon of choice and shown Doc Ock who's boss. If anyone's wondering why I'm calling this man Doc Ock, it's because I'd have to look it up, but it is the actor who plays Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2. Yes, you're right. He gets the third credit on Spider-Man 2 behind Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst. So So this is that classic adventurer scene that you see replicated throughout pop culture, thanks to 1981's Raiders. So yeah, you saw those stacked credits leading up to it. You got the John Williams score, you got George Lucas executive produce. Now, what are your feelings on anything beyond the original trilogy, like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? I think you're not wrong there. You're not wrong there. It's definitely inferior to the original. But I would be fine with him doing a fifth one. Yeah, well, we got to get the Squibs franchise. Got to keep the Squibs franchise rolling. Look at Molina's reaction. I think it was scary as a kid. Well, the tarantulas were kind of gross, right? Okay, by the way, this scene. It's kind of random, but I'll say it does remind me of the scene in The New Hope when they swing across the bridge. Yeah, Luke and Leia. It's so like, yeah, you could say that about any swinging scene, but it is the same kind of like imagery. Yeah, maybe I'm intentionally drawing a connection because of Lucas's influence. But like maybe the reason why I'm looking for those kind of connections is because I always see Indiana Jones flavoring in like Star Wars stuff, especially like Mandalorian and stuff. The scene where Mandalorian is attacking the Jawas is very Indiana Jones. After watching any of these Indiana Jones movies, I could never go through an old temple without thinking there was going to be some sort of booby traps. I just meant like if that was me, if I was Alfred Molina right now, I'd be like peeing my pants. Slight miscalculation. Adios, señor. Just a classic Indiana Jones, like. Yeah, and like, I love how these are all practical effects, you know what I mean? Like, sure, it's 1981, but it looks really good still, even today. There's the Universal ride. Yeah, like chunky.
Yeah, like a
Oh. That's gotta hurt. Okay, so maybe Louis can attest to this. What's this guy from? This he's like the Nazi guy, right?
What do you mean, what's he from?
Do you recognize him from anything else? Because I feel like I know him from something else. Yeah, the actor who plays the villain here.
He has a very recognizable face. I wouldn't tell you what movies he's done.
He's just mad with power, this guy. He's like a Red Skull, huh? Oh, you know who he is? Okay, so I knew I recognized him from somewhere. And I'm just checking him out. I'm checking out Raiders on IMDb. And when I look... So the villain's name is Belloc in this movie. I know, right? It's great. I hate snakes! I'm tired of these mother effing snakes on this mother effing plane. So I just kind of skimmed through the villain's IMDb, and I don't think it's the same guy. I thought he might have been the villain in, or one of the villains in, not a villain, but in Ace Ventura, the guy who he kind of infiltrates, and when he gets wet from the shark tank, and he goes like, "Do not go in there." Woo! I thought it was the guy that I thought it was the guy that he pisses off in that movie. Yeah, the whole sort of adventure aspect, maybe. Yeah, like, that's so funny.
Love you.
And, love ya. So tell me, was it pretty obvious from the jump that this guy was kind of spineless, the friend? Was it always pretty obvious from the jump that his friend at the university was kind of spineless? The guy who, like.
Yeah, he just fully stole his apple.
Yeah.
Taking the hidden people.
Yeah, really. What's that?
What did you say? You were saying that.
That Mark, is his name Marcus?
Yes.
That he's kind of spineless.
Spineless.
I think so. A little bit. I guess we'll have to see how it develops. So just a quick thing about Lawrence Kasdan, the fact that he was a writer, like he wrote this. Of course, it was, if you go in order, it was Empire Strikes Back in 1980. That was his first screenplay. And then he wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. So back-to-back classics. Then he wrote Body Heat, and then Continental Divide, and then Return of the Jedi. And then The Big Chill.
Oh, hell yeah. I like this guy.
He also wrote The Bodyguard and Dreamcatcher, which I loved. And he actually wrote The Force Awakens and Solo, A Star Wars Story, too. Yeah, so pretty cool. I'm relying on Louis's input here to tell us when to shut it. But yeah, this is a bit of a different style episode for Squibbling Rivalier, obviously, because it is a watch along. It's like you want to enjoy the movie and kind of talk about it at the same time. Are there any standout scenes from this movie that are really memorable that you're kind of like, those are the ones that bring to mind when you think about it? Oh, just, yeah, I'll let Louis explain because I think you got it. That's true. So, Louis, I don't know if you heard my question up top, but one of the questions we're trying to answer on this quest to find out if Raiders of the Lost Ark is truly the perfect movie is in the third act during that whole sequence, Is it really true that it is inconsequential that Indiana Jones was involved? Because he's important in the first two acts, but there's an argument to be made that he does, that the third act maybe would have been carried out regardless of what he did. That's something that I plan on answering during this watch along. It's an interesting question because I when I think back, I think, well, there's got to be something that like kind of disproves that. There's got to be something that he does that makes it all like end in their favor. But I guess we got to watch to find out. Because that's the going one of the going things about this movie is like a lot of people say it's a perfect movie. But then a lot of people like to say that the third act is kind of inconsequential to, with respect to Indiana Jones as a character. This sort of stretch of 1980, 1981 was like basically the early 80s was like Harrison Ford's time to shine, huh? I know, I hear a lot of the action sequences sound very Star Wars. Like it's a very Star Wars soundtrack, right? Like a very Star Wars score. They're just slightly tweaked to be like Indiana Jones, you know? But Indiana Jones has a distinct main theme compared to like the Star Wars theme. I don't know what it is about these Indiana Jones movies, but any of these scenes involving planes are always so awesome. It's all of that, and then even I would say even the cheesy sort of plotting graphic of the traveling, I love it. It's part of it, you know? For any where in the world is Carmen Sandiego fans out there, it's kind of like when you play that game, just like seeing him travel from place to place. Here we go. This is a big one. And so that's the other thing. If anyone knows anything about the Indiana Jones trilogy, then they would know that Temple of Doom is kind of an outlier compared to the overarching story, because it doesn't even it sort of is a prequel to the first and the third, and it doesn't even involve this girl right here. Yeah, she's great. Just to do everyone justice, I believe that's Karen Allen. She's a savage. Cheers, everybody. So, does anyone want to try and play the Raiders drinking game? Yeah, like taking all realism aside, because again, we are watching an Indiana Jones movie. It's pretty badass to watch her like owning the bar and like out drinking the patrons and like. Although having seen Temple of Doom, this is put into better context. Oh, this is kind of a. Yo, Indy's a player. Damn. Yeah, just as I was saying, once you kind of watch Temple of Doom and you know that it happened kind of during that 10-year gap, it makes it, it puts it into context a little bit more. I'm thinking she would have been screwed if she had given that to him right away. Because, see what's happening now? If they come looking for it and she doesn't have it, she's screwed over. Yeah. Oh, but the squibs are. I know it's a little like it's 1981 and there is some downtime like in the build up, but this is firing on all cylinders. Like this movie is so good. Unfortunately, Ronald Lacey passed in May 15 of 1991. He was only 55. Oh, shoots the logs. Yo, that was a headshot. Oh, that's a great, that's a nice little touch, her just drinking some of the booze. Shoot them both. It's so good. The classic. Yeah, I got this is obviously a decade early, but I got Home Alone vibes there when he's like trying to cool himself off in the snow. Joe Pesci.
Oh yeah, I thought
that was. Yeah, I think your bar is done. See, that's the thing. So she's feeling like she's owed the $5,000. And now she's kind of like thrust into the adventure in the way that maybe Luke's, like in a similar way to like Luke Skywalker, how he's forced into it. Because like he's got nothing left, right? So she's got nothing left, no bar. She wants the money. But she also loves Indy. So.
Yeah.
It's a great setup. And I love this guy too. Isn't that Gimli?
Who, sorry?
It's Gimli, isn't it? Hold on, one sec. Yeah, he even gets the credit before Marcus and before, I was going to say before Alfred Molina, but obviously. Yeah, so it's Gimli from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's John Rhys-Davies. What's that? Yeah, he's our ever-loving dwarf in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Yeah, it And my axe. Well, Gimli knew what's up. He was warned. Okay, you guys remember the monkey, right? This was actually gonna be like my memorable scene, like to answer that question from earlier, like what makes you think about this movie? It's the whole monkey sequence and then the following chase sequence, obviously. Oh yeah, that opening sequence too. Yeah, that's a good one. But that's three major sequences in the first like half of the movie, basically. Here we go, right in it. That is true. Can you imagine Harrison Ford doing a song and dance? You know what? If there's one thing that I didn't recall as much of is all the brutal murders that happened in this movie. It's awesome. Or maybe they just didn't stick in my memory from the last time I watched them. Oh. Yeah,
she's giving that to us.
This is the same type of monkey from like The Hangover 2, right? The one in Thailand. I love that. You brought a knife to a gunfight. I love that line. Like, it's so, it holds up. It holds up for sure. That line holds up. You can't do this. I'm an American. Love you, American friends. Actually, 40% of our listeners are from the United States of America. Yeah, it's because this is a loud action sequence. I should be turning it down, but this is all a brand new experience. Brand new trial. Oh man. Boom. Nice little setup for the exploding truck. Oh yeah, for sure. All these effects are really practical. And that's kind of the cool thing. I know there was a lot of practical effects used in movies like Star Wars as well, but obviously with science fiction, it's a little bit more technical as well. But like, it is cool to see sort of a real world setting action film that's done by Lucasfilm. That kind of looks like Josh Brolin, no? Belloc. I'd be like, bro, you just tried to kill me. That's like sort of foreshadowing, no? Or is that this movie or Last Crusade? Well, maybe it's Last Crusade, right? Not the sewer, but when they're under the, yeah? When they're in Venice, right? That's Last Crusade? Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that was this movie. I get them mixed up sometimes.
Men What about your boss, Jeff Fuhrer? I thought he was waiting to take possession.
This guy is Red Skull. Well, no, so the Red Skull was basically a faction of, you know, the Nazis. But he came up with Hydra because he basically, he pursued, like, more mystical powers. And this guy's going after the Ark, so it's, like, similar, like the Tesseract. Yeah.
They don't like stand for one thing. I feel like they would like change what they stand for if it means their power.
No, it's true. Crafty monkey. It did kind of look like that, didn't it? What a snake. You know, for a split second, you don't like the monkey because he's helping the henchman guy, the poisonous snake. But then it's like, he's so innocent because he's like not even in on the plan. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Squibbling rivalry pop quiz. Favorite poison scene? Are you talking about the original? Did you guys watch the original recently?
Yeah, we watched it before I canceled it.
Oh, okay, because we just watched it recently. That's so funny.
Yeah, we watched it like last week.
Yeah, that's awesome. We literally watched it last week as well.
We probably watched it the same
day. That's obviously like the most classic because of the time, right? But my favorite, like, I'd have to say one of them at least is the Princess Bride scene.
Oh, God, right.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, for sure. You know what a really good one is, too, is Casino Royale. The reason why I like the Casino Royale poison scene sequence is that, like, there's no avoiding it. He just has to suffer it, and then, like, he somehow scrapes himself back together. That's right. It's so funny. Yeah. That's right. Smile. Just took a little squib shot there. Yeah, man. No one was really, but it was candid. That's awesome. Yeah, there have been other sort of attempts at similar archaeological kind of historical adventure stories, but nothing quite like Indiana Jones. Just the fact that there have been more recent attempts, whether it's the Mummy or Tomb Raider or National Treasure, but nothing quite matches up to Indiana Jones. All the Beatles? When I think it might be. I think you're thinking of the Mummy, maybe? Party's over, pal. Yeah, I thought you were dead. Might as well be. I love you. What a hero.
I'd be so mad.
Yep. You got the sniper.
Who knows? Perhaps the Ark is still waiting at the Nighting Chamber for us to discover. Perhaps there's some fireable evidence.
I know that the question, the big question mark, is the third act, but I'd have to say, right up until now, they're relying heavily on Indiana Jones. Squeamish. There's like too many villains in this circle of people right now. Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. So I didn't realize that I kind of forgot that it was taking place in 1936. That's pretty wild. I don't know why that seems like such a stretch to me. Like I forgot that it was a bit of a period piece.
Well, that's interesting because how are you to know with a movie like this?
Well, I think the reason why I wasn't thinking of the 30s at all is because I know it's like made in the 80s, so I'm already thinking it's old.
Yeah, it's already old to us, yeah.
But yeah, 1936, that's, but that makes it kind of cool because all of like the archaeological stuff is more like, it's way more of a shocker in the 30s, right? Yeah, I mean, I kind of wasn't really thinking about the whole period with the Nazi stuff, but yeah, you're right, it has to be in that time frame.
Yeah. But I just mean that it just seems like, because it was made in the 80s, that it was, like, more advanced.
Snakes everywhere!
I hate snakes!
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I guess up until this point in the movie, other than the mention of the Fuhrer and the, you can see the flag clearly, like, you know who they work for, they don't come off as, like, the soldier types, really. They're, like, more of, like, adventuring Nazis. Yeah. But I guess story-wise, there's some connection to the fact that Hitler was really interested in artifacts and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if they thought that the he's also just an easy villain to put into movies.
That's true, but we get a break from them in Temple of Doom, but then it's Nazis again, right? In Last Crusade? Yeah. It's kind of like wrapping up the story that they set up in this movie, really. Like, another adventure with Indy carrying on from what was established in this story.
Oh, she's in a wedding dress.
This is a good scene too, because she really works this guy with her charm, right?
Yeah. Cover that knife.
Another good payoff from the whole I hate snakes in the plane. So, Louis, would this be the best one? The best Indiana Jones movie, in your mind?
The best Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. That dynamic between him and Sean Connery puts it way over the top for me.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, I like it the best. Yeah. You know what? But there's something that I like about Temple of Doom, the fact that it's so, like, creepy and scary. I kind of like that.
Like what?
Like, there's something dangerous to the Temple of Doom. Like, it's not following the same kind of formula. Like, it's like, it goes in places where you don't really expect it to go. Oh, at the beginning?
Yeah.
When he's, where is he? He's in Hong Kong or what? Oh, the triads?
The triads.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yes. Yeah, that, and it just shows his range of like where he really gets around, you know? But also that, and then like contrast to what the rest of the movie is, it's completely different, right? Short round. So I heard a cool take, like, because obviously they're gonna be releasing. I'm sure they're working on Indiana Jones 5. They'll probably try and get one more appearance from Harrison Ford as Indy, you know, older Indy. But I think if they were to try and continue the story, it would have been funny if they tried to do like Short Round as an adult, and he's like the new Indy. Which is that? I seriously doubt it, just because, not that he, I think he would be up to task. I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for. I just don't think that studios are willing to take the risk because they know that that one got panned. They know that that one is regarded as the worst one. Yes, it was always in the same way that maybe Phantom Menace, you could argue, was always. But I don't know. There's just something about it. Like, I think you can easily tell that George Lucas wanted to kind of introduce the alien element. And it's not even, story-wise, it kind of makes sense. I mean, a lot of these things are, these archaeological finds are rumored to be, you know, from space and whatnot. But, yeah, I don't know. It just, the execution maybe just wasn't the greatest. I think if they had filmed it without, I know that, you notice how they tried to use a filter to make it look like it was an older movie? If they had done Kingdom of the Crystal Skull as like a modern movie without too, worrying too much about making it look like a 40s movie or something, like, supposed to be 50s or 60s, like not 40s. 40s was too early, but they made it tried to make it look like an old movie. And I think if they had just made it like they would make normally make an action movie, it would have looked better. Here we go. That's the other thing, too, about Raiders and Last Crusade versus Temple of Doom, is that the actual goal or the end game of the Ark or the Holy Grail is way more monumental, I think, than anything else. Even the Crystal Skull is like, okay, cool, it's an alien skull and it's powerful, but these two have more of a like a weight to them, I think. Yeah. And that nerve wracking decision of which grail do you drink from? That would be the worst ever. I remember when we used to rent movies from like Blockbuster and other, you know, video stores. I remember commercials that used to incorporate the Last Crusade and other movies into the commercials. Like, you're about to watch a movie, and it was like the remote was the, or the Coke was the Grail or something. I don't know if it was a Coke commercial or what, but I remember they were trying to reenact that scene, like, you chose wisely. That's a great line. Oh, they just had to show that. Is that a king cobra? Adieu. And, this is my nightmare. I know. Is someone behind there just like shoving snakes through? Guys, I think I know where they found the pitch for Fear Factor. Oh yeah, that would be. Yeah, I don't know. Is that worse than lying in a vat full of like ants or something? What? Is that worse than lying in a whole tank full of ants or something?
Oh no, I would way rather.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Lady Victoire. Here we go. Classic theme. So I think now's probably a good time as any for me to grab the old D20. Yeah, let me see what I can wrangle here.
Oh my God.
years later, this is Winston in the subway tunnel in Ghostbusters 2.
Okay, so
well, I do have multiple D20. I do have multiple D20 if we want to try and maybe I could like roll one and show you and then roll another one. So I think if I sort of roll it, you guys can see it. And then once you tell me you've seen it, I'll just grab it. This is a gruesome scene, too. How many times have you been watching an action movie since this one, I'm guessing, where there's always like the big man that he's got to get by?
Yeah.
All right, let me know if you can see what I'm about to roll, and I'm not going to look, and this will be your roll, okay? Can you see that? Can you see that number?
No. Go over a bit to the left. No. Move down there. Stay still. Yeah, I got it. Is that my number?
That's your number. Okay. And I'll roll one so I'll get ready for, oh, yeah. That's DJ Yoda in the house. I've got a very interesting one. So maybe when this action sequence finishes, you can pick one. Gonna try and do a squibbling rivalry segment on the fly while we're continuing our watch along of Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first Indiana Jones movie. Get ready for it, people. Finish him. Chop, 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 chop. Yeah, I just love these elaborate set pieces. Just blowing shit up. So, what are we saying? Are we thinking that the start of the third act was actually when they got trapped down in the snake pit? So then we gotta be watching from here to see what he does to influence the final result, which we know is this big bad box opening up. So in the storydepartment.com, in the storydepartment.com, Act 3, Sequence G, has Indy on a horse following the truck, so we haven't even gotten there yet. Yeah, so we're still kind of in the end sequence of the second act here, according to the storydepartment.com. Yeah, sorry, this is the beginning sequence, essentially, of the third act. Like, it would have been right at the end of them, Indy rescuing Marion from the explosion and then finding out that the Ark is on a truck for Cairo, is basically. Yeah, I'm watching it a little loud, this action movie. But basically to say that, yes, this is the start of the third act, like, the second act basically ended up when the Ark was on a truck for Cairo. to turn my volume down? Is that better? Oh, just confirming that this is essentially the start of the third act. Man, these poor stuntmen. Yo! A wing-a-ding-dinger. Oh, man. This is like definitely the western part of the like the old Wild Wild West. For sure. Probably got a rodeo guy to do that one. Yeah, that was like another subtle, good setup there, where he already kind of mangled the grill, and then the grill was falling apart when the guy goes out there. Oh, I totally forgot about this part. Just who can you trust? Thanks, Kimley. Couldn't have done it without you. Goodbye, Sella. What an exit. How cool would it have been if you found out that was like an improv take? Just start singing and walking off. So good. Yeah, it'd be hard to avoid just because it's the same guy, right? But
yeah.
I just think it works so well for both of these franchises.
Yeah.
Like John Williams' style in general. If I could quote Bad Boys, or Bad Boys 2, or whatever, shit's about to get real.
Police just fallen asleep on him.
So you can't claim too many similarities with James Bond, you know? Not saying I'd be a fan of snakes, but I think I'd be the guy saying I hate rats if I were Indy. So here's the deal. I'd rather, like, one rat than one snake if it was just one. But if it's more than one, I'll take the snakes.
Oh, no. I would take one rat over one snake, but bunch of snakes over a bunch of rats.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, that's what you meant, too?
Yeah. I just said it in a backwards way. It was confusing. Firing squad. Yet another villain in this film. Oh yeah, I guess you're right. That's true. There we go. Another classic en route cutscene. This is so James Bond, though. The underground lair, like, in the cave. International man of mystery. I'm saying I think this cave is very James Bond.
Of the department of the and the king of the
Oh, that was a nice jab.
Close call.
Yeah. Look at this guy. Love this. Just an RPG, no big deal. There we go, stating his intentions. I like it. My only weakness. Curiosity. That would be a dope bar cart. This guy just had to get dressed up. So that's kind of where I wanted to make sure I watched it again before I took a stand, but that is the argument that I see people making, is that they think that this would have happened to the Nazis with or without his involvement, at least in the third act. But I don't know if I agree with that, to be honest.
see if we just if Indiana Jones just left and then they just showed this happen.
But so I think just because of the setup is so good that my whole thing is like they need him initially, or at least that advances their timeline of when they find it. So if you think about it from a story perspective, it still fits because inevitably they're going to look for this guy, this Indiana Jones, to try and get them the Ark. So in majority of the timelines or alternate realities, they're still going to get Indiana Jones involved in this adventure because he's the go-to leading expert to help them find the Ark. And then it's the whole thing of, he makes that choice. I could blow this up now, but I'm just as curious. Yeah, Force Lightning. I'm also loving the parallels with Captain America, the First Avenger. How, like, Red Skull, lust for power, grabs the Tesseract and disappears. Oh, yeah. I see it. Yeah, I see it for sure. So here's my deal, guys. It's obviously an argument for a reason. There are people that see it that this act is not really consequential to Indiana Jones' involvement. But I would have to disagree. And that the fact is, because of the love story that's set up between them and the fact that he goes after her to save her, and she wouldn't have made it through that without him being there to tell her not to look. So I do think it's very consequential because the story is rooted in their relationship. I would have to agree with you, Louis, but I wanted to like kind of watch it again and see if I could see it through that lens, because that's what other people think of the movie. But so just to say that he's important in the story. Well, that's my point, is that like they don't really get to that third act without every time seeking him out to get the Ark. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, LBW. You definitely cannot, and that's the thing, right? Like, I do like other similar adventure stories, but none of them are quite as form-fitting, I think, as Indiana Jones. So if I were to call the Star Wars trilogy the ultimate fantasy trilogy, this has got to be up there as one of the ultimate action-adventure trilogies. And then I love this sort of fade-off sequence where he's just storing it, another one of the most powerful artifacts in this huge warehouse. They actually call back to it in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull when they go back to the warehouse. What a movie. That's a wrap, folks. We fade off into the sunset, or else rather a dusty warehouse with the Ark in it. Just one of a thousand, tens of thousands of boxes. I think so, our own little Netflix party. Squibbling Rivalry style. And a first appearance from Louis, so there you have it. Well, I think we gained some valuable insight from you. I admit I was a little rusty. I don't think I've watched this movie in years, so. It also gets me excited to continue and finish the trilogy at some point. We'll do, and we can report back and break it down on a future episode for sure. Well, I really enjoyed the little mini Squibbling Rivalry session. And oh yeah, we have to finish off with mine, right? Or did you even pick one? Should we just do it right now and cap it off with the Squibbling Rivalry session?
Yeah. So, you've all been missing it. Squibbling.
That's right. If you've lasted this last 2 hours and you've watched the whole Raiders of the Lost Ark with us, you'll get a nice little conclusion with our classic Squibbling Rivalry session. First of 2020. And you got one for me? Okay. Yeah, I can kind of picture it. I'm wondering if it's not like The Spy Who Shagged Me.
You nailed it.
Did I?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Heather Graham? Is that her name, Heather Graham?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So I would have to say if it's that one, then it's 1999. Did I nail it?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to pull one real quick so we can wrap on our longest, officially longest episode ever, unless, of course, we cut it into two. But yeah, so I'm going to have to go with, this is going to be interesting, and you'll soon know why, but, okay, if I had to, I'd say it's a comedy starring at least two of the original Ghostbusters. So it's not Ghostbusters, but it does star two out of the original cast.
Blues Brothers?
Do you want to phone a friend with Louie there at your side?
Yeah. Stripes?
That's it. Ding, ding, ding. Now, you have a very unique opportunity to tie me in 2020, and let's just say the end is achievable. You can guess this year. I believe in you. It's very consequential.
Very consequential.
What's that?
How old was it?
It's very integral that you get this right.
1985?
No, it's actually the same year as Raiders of the Lost Ark, 1981. Yeah, it seems pretty old. I can't believe that Stripes came out before Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's
my thing. Yeah. But yeah, there you have it, folks. We got two more added to the Squibbing rivalry list there, between Stripes and, of course, The Spy Who Shagged Me, sequel to Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery. And we had a great watch-along with one of the most classic, I would argue, perfect films of the 80s. 1981's Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first Indiana Jones, written by Lawrence Kasdan, directed by Steven Spielberg, and produced by George Lucas. Of course, starring Harrison Ford, as well as Karen Allen. And it was a great little experience while we sit here in isolation and try and make it through this grim 2020 that we've already made it a quarter through, I guess.
Yeah, wow, we've made it a quarter through already.
So just to our devoted listeners out there, I want to apologize for straying from the weekly program on the Friday episodes, but hopefully you can pop on some Raiders and enjoy a special extra long session with your favorite squibs.
Yeah, we're making up for lost time.
That's right. So stay tuned and maybe we'll have Louie back for some future fun and some more Indiana Jones talk and some other great squib segments we got planned for you.
Woo-hoo, it's been a pleasure.
That's right. Stay safe, stay isolated, wash your hands. It's very important, people, but we love you, and we'll see you soon. And ciao, bella, and sayonara, and thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Cheers. To the squib.